He's worthy of our praise. It is the apostolic oneness scripture that we always use. It was the Shema to the children of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. But the very next verse, you really find out what God is looking for. And him shalt thou love with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You really want to touch God, it does take your all. If we're going to have revival, it's going to take all that we've got. We've got to empty ourselves before him. Get everything that we have of us, of man, of humanity, out of the way, and let the Spirit do the work. I believe God's got great things in store for this church. But Satan is not going to give it to you. He's not going to just roll over and say, well, if you want revival, I'm not going to do it. He can't stop you if you give it your all. But you got to remember, it's going to take your all to win the fight, because he's going to fight you. Well, somebody help me tonight. I feel like God has spoke to me today. This has never been preached. This has not been rehearsed. This is just what God has laid on my heart. And I believe God is going to touch lives in this house. I'm nobody. You listen to me. I'm nobody. All I have is a call of God on my life and the Holy Ghost, and without that, I'm nothing. And without him, I'm nothing. But I believe that God has spoken to me for this church tonight, and I need somebody in this house to help me. I give honor to your pastor, Brother Stevenson. What a great man of God and a great friend. And he texted me Monday and said he wanted me to preach, and I said I will do my very best. And I'm thankful for my pastor, Brother Couch. Boy, we've been hearing some great teaching these last couple of weeks about the coming of the Lord in the end time. I'm thankful that we have a hope beyond this world. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 46th chapter and the 9th verse. Look, I'm sweating. I'm not sick. I'm fat and I sweat. That's all there is to that. So if you feel good, just watch me sweat then. Verse 9, chapter 46, Isaiah. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. Everybody say, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. For a little while, I want to preach, and I promise you, I won't be for a little while. I'm going to try to be short and let God have his way. I want to preach from this thought. God already declared the end before your battle ever began. Before your battle ever began, God already declared how this thing was going to be. Lord, right now we need your help. I need your help. I am desperately indebted to your Spirit. God, I want you to talk to us. Let the Holy Ghost have its way. Let your Spirit move. Do your will, God. God, let your Spirit have its way in this house. God, anoint my lips of clay. Cause me to speak as an oracle of the Lord. God, and anoint my tongue, God, as the pen of a ready writer. God, we need you right now. Somebody just praise him right now. Somebody just praise him right now. Could you shout with your voice just for a moment? Could we just take a little time and try our best? We can't do it, but can we try our best to praise him according to his excellent greatness? God, I thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, I praise your holy name. And you may be seated. God, from the beginning, in the beginning, by his word and his design, he planned out what he was going to do. He planned how this thing, he orchestrated this thing from the beginning. The God that stood on nothing and created everything by his own word from his own mouth. You look at creation and you can clearly see that God designed everything in perfect harmony and perfect order. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the order of God's creation, how he planned it out and how it was done. On the first day, God created the light and he separated the light from the darkness. The second day, he created the earth's atmosphere and the atmospheric water, the seas, oceans, and fresh water. On the third day, God separated the waters with the dry land, and he created the dew to water the dry ground, the plants, and the vegetation. On day four, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the fifth day, he created the fish of the sea and all the creatures of the sea and the fowls of the air. And on the sixth day, he created every mammal, reptile, amphibian, every creeping thing that creeped upon the earth, both great and small. Then on the sixth day, after all of that, he creates the first man, Adam. He forms him out of the dust of the ground. Then he causes a deep sleep to fall over Adam. And from Adam's side, he takes a rib, and from Adam, he creates him a wife named Eve. You see, God is a God of order and a God of perfect harmony. And in that creation, we can see the same thing for us in the church, that God creates everything in harmony and in order. God created man after he had created every other thing. So before Adam and Eve had a problem or a dilemma, a test or a trial or a tribulation, God created man's solution for every one of his problems before he ever formed man. So for us that have been filled with his Spirit and have been buried in his name in baptism, God has already made a provision for you. He's already created a way of escape for you. He's already given you the answer to your problem before you ever got to your trial or your temptation, because God has a plan and an order. It has not caught God by surprise. The hell and chaos that is going on in the church, God has already planned a way out for it. It hasn't caught him by surprise. He's not up there scratching his head, confused and worried and wringing his hands. He's already made a way for the church to get out of this. the trials and tribulations that are in your life and in mine. God has already made a way, and he already knew what he was going to do before we got to it. You see, the devil likes to play with our mind. It's the devil's playground, if you please. Our minds, the devil wants to make us think that all the trouble that is going on is to break up and destroy the body. But I've got good news for the church, and I've got bad news for the devil. The body of Christ was broken and battered and killed once and only once on a hill called Calvary. But the body of Christ today, which is the church of the living God, will never be broken again. Every church goes through battles. Every church goes through tests. Every church goes through tribulation. Every church goes through struggles. But it's not for the breaking of the body. The devil wants you to think that you can't get out. Honey, if you've got Jesus and you hold on to him and you stay with the church, you've got everything that you need to make it through what the enemy's trying to cast on you and make you doubt God and make you doubt that he can. I'm here to tell you that he will if we'll hang on and just give God our all. My trial, our trials as the church together, the church of the living God, our trials are not for the breaking and destruction of the body, but they are for the binding together and the building up of the church. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one together. We are one together. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're not going to be torn down. God said, you've watered and planted, and I'm going to give the increase. I don't care what the devil says. I'm not going to be, my body's not going to be broken, but I'm going to build it up. This is my house. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. What's in us is no match for the devil. What God has given us, the devil can't steal unless you let him. But if you'll hold on with everything you've got, you cannot be destroyed. You cannot be broken down. All you can do is be built up and built together in the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, 1 Peter 2:1, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. This is not a dead church.
But if the devil can make it a dead church,
boy, I'm telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost. If he ever steals your praise, he's got you. You go back and you read in your Bible about Peter. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. And that's bad news. But he said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. How do you keep your faith? You just keep loving God. How do you keep the faith? You just keep worshiping God. How do you keep the faith? You just keep loving God. But the minute that you let your dilemma or your struggle or your setback or your trial and tribulation stop you from loving God, he's got your faith. Your faith is wrapped up in your worship. Your love for God is wrapped up in your worship. The minute you silence yourself in the house of God, he's got you right where he wants you. But in trial and tribulation, I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to worship God because I know that my faith cannot fail. Unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious he also as unto to lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You're not going to be overtaken. You're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to be condemned. But if you believe and you give God all your heart and let the Holy Ghost just have its way, there ain't nothing that the devil can do to you. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, we're not like them. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shoot forth the praises of him who hath called ye out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which not had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Why, if you're in the mully grubs, you ain't got nothing to complain about. God's on your side. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Come on, let's offer ourselves unto him. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro
and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're not broken, we're not destroyed, but we're built up and bound together in Jesus Christ. We are lively stones. We are the church of the living God.
Our captain of our host has never lost a battle. Brother Bowie, I don't know how long you've been living for the Lord, but has he failed you yet? He's never failed you. The same answer that he gave is the same answer that you have. He'll never fail you. Brother Butch Davis, he's never failed you. He's never let you down, not one time. Come on, somebody help me right now. There's been many times I failed him. There's many times I've dropped the ball and disappointed God, but he has never failed me, and he never will. I'm here to tell this church in the Holy Ghost, if I've ever felt the Holy Ghost, this church is a revival church. This church is an apostolic church. This is a church that is built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. This is a church that has a man of God with a vision. This is a church that loves the truth. Brother Chase Womack, there ain't nothing that the devil can do with that. He can fight it all he wants to. He can battle it all he wants to. But he's done lost before the battle ever begun. He's done lost before he even made an attack. The enemy has no hold upon the people of God. You need to let yourself loose in the Holy Ghost tonight. He's held your mind long enough. He's held your praise long enough. You've let the devil talk to you until you don't feel like you're worth anything in the house of God. You still got a praise left. You still got a hand to lift. You still got a voice to cry out with. He's done lost the battle. I said he's done lost the battle. He's not victorious. The church is victorious. Even while we're in the fight, we've got the victory. Even while we're in the battle, we've got the victory, because we've got the King on our side, and he's never lost a battle. The body of Christ, the church. Say, that's me. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Are bound together in the Holy Ghost and in the love of Jesus Christ. And we are built up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Is this still a tongue talking church? Amen. Brother Lee Stone King said, and they shall speak with new tongues. And he said, every day. And then he said, which I believe it should be every day. You should never let a day go by that you don't get yourself in the Spirit of God. That's how you build yourself up, is praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude, verse 17.
But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God has already made a way for you before you ever got to your battle. Before the first attack was ever made by the enemy, God was already there. If you'll keep praying and keep building yourself up in the Holy Ghost, young people, there may be temptations, there may be tests, but if you'll get a hold of God now, the enemy ain't got nothing to hold you, to bind you, to silence you, or to stop you. But if you give up, that's on you, it's not on God. But if you hold on and give God everything, you'll win this battle.
He's already made a way of escape. I can let my trouble sit on a pew and silence my praise. Russ Banky, we let it go one service. And then the next service, it gets a little bit easier. A little bit easier. People that have walked out on living for God, it's not because they was mad or frustrated. That's not what it was about. They let the main thing not be the main thing anymore. And instead of keeping their eyes on God, they got their eyes on their problem or somebody else. I feel a little nudge in the Holy Ghost, and I'm not the pastor. But if there's somebody that's stopping you from living for God, shame on you. God has done you nothing but good. Too many people lost the victory because they quit worshiping God. You take a look in the Bible. I don't have explanation for it, but this is just my idea. When Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, what was the main reason? He said, loving this present world. That means to tell me that the love of God was not the main thing anymore. Everybody in the church is going to have battles. Everybody in the church is going to go through struggles and heartaches and tests. But it's how you look at your battle, if you're going to have victory or not. If you let God still be God, you're going to win. Because he said, I've declared the end of this thing before you ever got there. But if you let your enemy distract you long enough to keep you from worshiping God, your problem's going to leave you high and dry. And you're going to be lost and left languishing without anything to hold on to. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 10:13, therefore hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. No matter what you are going through or your situation that you may be facing right now, God has already taken your temptation and your test, your battle, if you please, and with it he has already created a way of escape so that
that you can bear it, that you can overcome it. And when you get through it with your hands raised in victory.
I'm a word preacher. I don't get hung up. I don't try to get hung up on cliches or little catchphrases or anything like that. I've been told you ain't nothing but blood and guts, Spence. I don't know any other way to preach. If I'm not preaching good, y'all just pray for me. But I just know that what God laid on my heart today, this is what God said. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That is why the people of God do not wring their hands in fear and in dread and in torment when the battle is hot. We, the church, do not cower in the corner when it looks ugly and dark. No, the church must worship and praise and rejoice because we know that God has already given us the victory over the enemy before the fight ever started. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Philippians 2:14, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Hey, in a crooked and perverse generation, in this nation that has gone crazy, we're still going to worship God. This is a place of rejoicing. This is a place where our joy shall be full. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Don't think on what the world's doing. Get your mind up on what God's doing. Everything that he does is lovely. Everything that he does is worth rejoicing. It's worth praise. I'm preaching this to myself because we're in a battle ourselves. And there's been so many times, sis, it was easy, could have been easy, to say, what's the use? Preacher's not immune to it. Your man of God has struggles and trials and tribulations just like every one of us do. But the mark of a champion leader is he does not let his struggle show. Brother Josh, he doesn't let his trouble be known. I have a little trouble with that. I have a face that can let you know when things ain't good. But I remember that the battle that I face, I have to remember, as a child of God, Brother Bowie, the battle that I face, God has already ordained it. Brother Jamie, it's already orchestrated. The back of the book says the church wins. The devil's already, he's already going to be bound by that great chain. We're going to overcome him. But every individual that's in this church, if you're going to be a part of that great family, has to understand you can't let your struggle bind you here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice. We got any rejoicers in the house? But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Oh, come on, there's more than that. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You need to pull a smile on your face and say, hey, I'm in this because God put me here, because he knows if I hang on, I'm going to overcome. And I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm not running. I'm not hiding. I'm not ducking my head. I'm hanging on to God. He is my fortress. He is my hope. He is my strong tower. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their parts, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, and let him glorify God on this behalf. Satan, I'm suffering with him because I know if I'm going to make it, I'm going to have to be like he was. I'm going to have to endure some things. And if I hang on, I can endure. I can hang on to God and make it through, because God has already given me the victory before I ever fought a battle. Satan, before you ever drew a sword or threw a spear or done anything to me in the spirit, God has already given me the victory. I've already overcome this thing through the Holy Ghost. They can come back to the music. I don't know if you remember the song. If you can't sing it, that's fine. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children, and righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. Come on, somebody. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not in me, not by me, excuse me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that riseth up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Satan, I want you to hear me well. I want you to hear me loud and clear. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win. I'll say it again. No matter what the weapon is, the church wins. Satan, you're defeated. We are going to go from this place rejoicing because God has already wrought the victory. So when the devil comes to you and tries to tell you you're not going to make it, that it's all over, you look him in the eyes and you say to the devil, no, devil, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And I am more than a conqueror through him that loved us. To the apostolic church, victory was declared for us before we was ever born naturally and before we was ever born again spiritually. God has already given the church victory before you had the Holy Ghost. And now that you have the Holy Ghost, you need to rejoice in the victory that God has already wrought for the church. Same Peter that Satan desired to have looked at that same Peter, and from the Savior's lips came these words, and I say unto ye that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm here to tell this church, he shut up the horakata. The devil did not overcome the church then, and he will not overcome the church now. We are victorious. We are children of the Most High God. We have everything that we need for the victory. All we've got to do is hang on and fight. This front's open for worship. Now, if you've been going through a trial, don't come up here. Please don't come up here silent and lethargic. You need to throw your head back, throw your hands up, and lift your voice and say, Satan, I'm coming out of this. This is the last night that I'm going to fight this enemy. I may have to fight him in the morning, but I'm not going to let him steal my joy anymore. I'm not going to get down anymore. I'm not going to get defeated anymore. I'm going to look at you, and I'm going to say, devil, give it your best shot. I've already won this fight. I've got the word. I've got the spirit. I've got the church. I've got people praying. I've got a man of God fighting. I'm done. Now we've got dressed. We've already come to church. We need to do like they did in Nehemiah's day. Hey, don't be crying. It's a holy day. Drink the sweet. Eat the fat. Give portions to them that have nothing. For this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. That word, and it says also that they went away and made great mirth. Brother Bowie, that word made great mirth, that little phrase there meant they went away laughing. We need to come up to this front and we need to look at our enemy and say, Satan, you're a defeated foe. And in the spirit, I wish we would laugh right in the devil's face and tell him you are defeated. You're not going to win. I'm not going to let you stop my praise. I'm not going to let you silence me. I'm not going to let you shut my mouth. I've got something to praise God for. Come on, let's give God our praise right now. Let's give God our best right now.